In the cavernous main hall of New York's Grand Central Terminal, a woman is drumming. She's wearing jeans and a red tank top that exposes a tattoo on one shoulder. She dips her body close into the snare as her drumsticks dance in patterns. She's absorbing the sound. It's a scene from a new documentary about the Scottish percussionist Evelyn Glennie called Touch the Sound. Evelyn Glennie has been deaf since she was 12.
Hearing is a form of touch. Sound that comes to you, you know, you can feel as though you can literally sort of almost reach out to that sound and feel that sound.
The film was made by Thomas Riedelsheimer. He's German, best known in the U.S. for his documentary about the artist Andy Goldsworthy called Rivers and Tides. Riedelsheimer says just as Evelyn Glennie feels the sound, he wants his viewers to see the sound.
With this film, I tried to transfer acoustics or sound ideas into images. This was the biggest challenge of the whole film. Still, I tried to find images that are metaphors for these sounds, and that was a great challenge and a great piece of work to do, actually.
Metaphors for the sound.
Metaphors, yes. I mean, there's this image of the airplane in the blue sky and leaves behind this trace of white. And that was seen through a pond, so it was reflecting. And in the beginning it was totally straight, and then someone threw a stone in the pond and the surface gets these ripples, and the whole line that was straight became a wave.
Sound, of course, a wave as well.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yes. And you can bring it down, I think, to everything. This idea that something is stable, still, static, like a piece of metal or something like that. There's still atomic nucleus things, and then there's a lot of air around, and everything holds together through spinning, vibrating, energetic movements. And probably you can even hear them if you would be able to. It's totally different from anything that is still, stable and static, which probably is close to death, as Evelyn said in the movie.
It's great fun to watch Evelyn Glennie in this film create sound worlds for herself. There's a scene where she goes back to the farm in Scotland where she grew up, but she hasn't been there for a long time, and she finds a whole store of pipes and sheet metal and tubing, and all of a sudden there's a little orchestra that she's created for herself.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this comes together with the surrounding sounds, and she turns it into musical stuff, and she's inventing music or percussive instruments out of everything. I mean, there's the sequence as well when she's playing with chopsticks in a Japanese bar that I like very much. It's very tiny things.
How did this come about? What happened?
We've been in a restaurant, and she's been asking the barkeeper whether she could have chopsticks, and was kneeling down on the floor and had some actually used plates and cans and turned down glasses and things like that, and started a very nice vivid rhythm with it, and immediately the noises died down and everyone was listening. It was just a very private and intimate situation, very beautiful.
How important was it to you in making this movie not only to explore Evelyn Glennie and her music and the whole concept of sound, but also to explore her deafness?
And that's a good point, because normally this is a big issue in all her life, and she's not very much pleased to lay too much stress on it. And it's always this, well, that's the deaf musician, how can that be? So that's the first issue. On the other hand, of course, it was always important to talk about it, because the film is about sound as a physical thing, something that really hits you, something that you can feel. And she's perfect to illustrate that. So my idea always was not to start with that and not make it the main issue of the film. I think you go through the film for half an hour or something like that, 20 minutes, and then you learn about her deafness, and it doesn't play that big role in the rest of the film, but still you know it. The worst thing that could happen to me was when the film would turn out to be a film about a disabled person who finally made it or something like that. So I never wanted to do that.
There's a moment that almost at the end of the movie where Evelyn Glennie talks about the enormous landscape of the senses.
Touch is just something that, a little bit like hearing, it's just so vast. You know, we need all our senses for the others to function. We just do.
I wonder, as you were making this film, if you began hearing in a different way, if you found that your senses were expanding.
Yes, I would say so. I mean, it helps me being more aware what's going on sound-wise. And I occasionally really enjoy sitting in a metro station or somewhere else and start listening, whatever, women passing by with high heels and you have this cluck, cluck, cluck thing going on. I guess it helps me being more aware and using more of my senses than I probably would if I have not been around with Evelyn for a whole year.
Making you hypersensitive in a way, maybe.
Not hyper. I think maybe to a normal degree sensitive. I think it's more the other way that we are starting to lose this ability of being aware. And we probably lose the ability to hear in the right way because there's too many things that are too loud that are going on that are too simple, and there's maybe not enough thinking about the things that are around us. So this all adds up to an awareness or an openness of taking things in and really working with them.
Thomas Riedelsheimer, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thomas Riedelsheimer's film is called Touch the Sound. The music you're hearing was improvised and performed by Evelyn Glennie and Fred Frith. You can watch scenes from the film at our website, npr.org.